friendly cleaning products. C&A Cleaning also offers ultrasonic blind cleaning. For more information or for employment opportunities, call C&A Cleaning at 514-7738. That's 514-7738. So thank you again to C&A Cleaning. We appreciate all the love and support. And again, most importantly, thank you. Right there, you, not the person, no, you, for listening. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. We're playing shorthanded tonight, but we're still going to have a good show. Ain't that right, Brad?
Yeah, baby.
Brad's fired up. I'm here. You know.
You're not fired up?
I'm all right. I've been more fired up. I've been less, you know.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm medium fired.
Are you like a smolder, or are you kind of like a little crackle?
I'd say I'm more of a smolder.
Okay.
But we're going to add some kindling to this fire, you know what I mean?
The coals are the one that was what matters. You know?
Yeah.
It gets the fire going.
The coals are there. The coals are nice and warm. We gotta, like I said, throw some kindling, maybe a little lighter fluid on the deal, and we'll be up and running.
Yeah.
We'll be just fine.
All right, sweet.
Cool. You want to start the show?
Please do.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Talking Bell Practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Derek Isamaki, he should be joining us, but he's running a few minutes late. Rudy Vasquez, he's working, getting that money. So I got my man, our producer extraordinaire, Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
Let's go!
All right.
Ready. I'm ready to go.
That's the sound of a man who knows he's going to get a little bit more airtime than usual
exactly.
Today.
Exactly. A little more talking. Whether that's good or not, we'll see.
We'll find out. Big shout out to everyone who's joining us on Instagram Live. You can check us out, TBP Not A Game, TBP Not A Game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. Message us, we may message you back, as long as it's respectful and it's good. It's interesting.
Yeah. No hate.
No haters.
This is a no hate zone, no hate day.
Well, we'll see about that. Plenty of hate to go around, but...
towards us.
Yes.
Yes, towards us.
We will not tolerate any of that.
We will hate everyone else, but don't hate us.
That's right. I want to give a big shout out to our man John Lucan, who joined us last week live in studio.
It's you.
Looking to have some John on the show more frequently here in the coming weeks and months. So
we definitely need him for college football because we did not do
college football justice this year, and we could have used John there. You're absolutely right. That's a great point. I also, while we're saying our hellos. Big shout out to the class of 2022, whether you're graduating college or high school, shouts to you. For those of you listening in the far off regions, right? I know we have listeners all over the country. Chico is a college town, if you are unfamiliar. So about, a quarter? No, less than that. A fifth of our population is students.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine, yes.
Something like that. There's about...
If you're saying 120,000, you're saying, yeah, about a fifth, 20,000 people between Butte and Chico State. I think it's
a little bit more than that, and if you include faculty that travels and all that. But anyway,
yes.
Semantics. We are a college town, so shout out to those grads. I do want to say, living here during the summer is
so
the best time to be
nice.
In Chico. It's by far the best time to be in Chico. I know we've talked about it on this show before, but there's almost like a calm, like a calm wave that goes,
yeah,
or a wave of calm that just embraces the city during the summer.
It is extremely peaceful.
As people kind of roll out of here, mm-hmm. it's just like there's no lines at the bars anymore. It's just, you know.
Like, the winter's nice, and it's like a lot of people leave, but not enough. And it's also, it's winter here in Chico. Yeah. There's not much to do. You can't go to the lake, can't go to the river.
Now we're floating, yep. We're playing golf, we're doing all the things.
Yes.
What are you looking most forward to about the summer, Mr. Isamaki?
Sweating my balls off.
Okay.
Man, dude. Yeah.
It's already toasty.
Oh, dude, I'm already happening. My apartment is already... I need to find some cooler system online. I know Amazon's got it for me.
Yeah.
If you got ideas, let me know. TBP not a game. Hit me up on the Instagram. Let us know some good ways to get me cool when I have a crappy apartment that is just the worst in all the extremes. It is it's fine during when it's ever cool out there. It's perfect. It's great.
Yes.
But when it's cold, it sucks. When it's hot, it sucks. But I like it when it's cold because I like to bundle up.
No doubt.
I can only take off so much clothes.
Right, right.
And when you're sweating all over your couch and you're trying to, you know, enjoy a baseball game at, 9:30 at night and you're seeing your team just get demolished, you don't know if they're tears or sweat at that point in time.
Yeah.
They all blend together. So it's tough.
What I'd suggest, put a towel, soak it, throw it in the freezer, and then kind of interchange two or three towels.
Yeah, see, I don't have to get up off. I just want to be able to have something right there. It's like blowing directly into my face.
Oh, I was going to say, you could also have an ice cooler next to you.
Actually, yes. Yes, that'd be better if you said
it. Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, we don't judge.
Hey, you know,
we don't judge.
We all could say it.
Whatever you're into.
Yeah.
yes, that is what I desperately need. And so, yeah. But also, I do agree with your sentiments and the fact that I do like the town. It calms down. When I came to visit Chico the first time, I came in the summertime, so it's the town that I fell in love with was... The summertime of Chico.
Yes.
It's small town. Small town that really comes together and really kind of encapsulates the ideas I was looking for. So I really do love it. And I hope that... I like that. Like I said, I can't wait till the kids are gone. It's only going to last for a little bit because I feel like they stick around a lot more now.
I feel they do too. And I as much as obviously all of us know each other through school mm-hmm. and we all graduated from Chico State and we once were those kids, but it is nice when they leave. It's long enough to miss them.
Yes.
But it's those 3.5 months are pretty spectacular.
They really are.
Well, y'all were those kids. I was never that kid.
Well, yeah. Well, I stuck around.
Yeah, I always stuck around.
And you guys never went home for summer?
This was my home.
Yeah. I mean, I went maybe home for maybe a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, you know?
But you also worked
at the bars. Jobs. Yeah, I had jobs that were keeping me up here.
Yeah.
And I needed to keep money going. It wasn't like,
all these bum kids didn't have jobs around here.
So.
Well, shouts to them. I wish I was one of those kids at one point in my life. I had a job as long as I can remember. So.
Never had that life.
The real world sucks, kids. Stay in school.
All right, we'll get off our couch and we'll get into some sports talk maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is a lot more fun, actually.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's talk a little hoops. I definitely want to get a foot in mouth before you have to bounce because a lot happened this weekend. But let's talk some NBA hoops. Chris Paul, once again, bounced. In dramatic fashion, he is the first player in NBA history to go up 2-0 on 5 different series and end up losing.
Yeah.
And I knew this was going to be fun for you to talk about. Yeah. So I just kind of want to give you the floor, and we'll just go wherever you want to take this.
I mean, everyone, if you're a listener of the show, you understand. I have a lot of hate for a lot of people out there. Chris Paul's not someone I want to say I hate so much as I just like to clown on a lot for some reason. He's just an easy guy to do, and I feel for it. I feel guilty for doing it at the same point in time. I love doing it, so I'm not going to feel guilty for what I love. You know, there are people out there who should feel guilty for what they love. It's illegal for some of the things that you do love, but we're not going to go. Mine's not illegal. I can hate Chris Paul as much as I want,
yes,
and enjoy it. And again, it's not true so much as I hate as much as I.
You enjoy the tears.
I adorn myself in his sadness, and it makes me feel good whenever I see it. Just it sucks because the guy is a talented, no doubt. Give him respects as his point guard. He is probably one of the greatest point guards of this generation. Mm-hmm. In terms of how he is truly a number one. He's one of the last few true number ones.
Yeah.
And one true great number ones out there. And am I saying, is that one? Is he a one?
No. He's a one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking, got football on my mind for a split second.
He plays a point guard.
Yeah, a true point guard.
Yes. Yeah. He pass first, floor general, can get you buckets when you need them, but yes.
A staunch competitor in his own right.
Yes.
But I guess a part of it also holds on the fact that David Stern's also in my hatred of the fact that I would have loved Chris Paul. But because I can't love Chris Paul because of David Stern, I have to hate Chris Paul.
That's
so
fair.
Because I could have, it's like the long lost loves. I can't love you. I can't root for your success. I hope for your demise because that your success could have been our success. It won't be our success because it's your success. So your success would have been sadness to me.
Mm.
So I'm glad he hasn't had success because it could have been with our success.
Yes.
But it wasn't our success. It was going to be his success. And David Stern made sure of that. He was like the father that didn't want Romeo and Juliet to get together, you know?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. You and it's a long lost love. You and this girl had a connection. You're gonna build a future together, and then it got snatched out from under you, unbeknownst to either one of you. It wasn't either one of yours faults, but now it's.
Could I be the bigger person and hope for the other person's success and not be a scorned lover?
Of course.
Yes. Am I going to be?
No, that's not human nature.
That's not.
You don't want to see her doing well.
Especially when we got so close. And
yeah.
It feels like there's a part of her that might have had her hand in that bucket with that. I don't know.
With David Stern?
Somehow. I don't know. There's a part of me that's doubting my mind.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
But you just don't want to see her being successful
no,
and happy.
It just hurts.
You want her to be okay, but you don't want her to marry up.
Not to mention it kind of hurt a little bit. Because no matter what, there was always something funny about the way Chris Paul just looked when he ran. And I couldn't help myself from like... Not being able to say, okay, at least you're not on my team. I can just laugh at that. But, like, if you were on my team, I had to find a way to love that. I'm glad I didn't have to find a way to love that. I'm glad I didn't have to find a way to love your faults.
Yeah.
Because they were hard for me to love. That way you ran out there. It was just an awkward run for you, the way you looked out there on the court. Because, granted, you are 6'2", probably, so you're a tall dude, my height. But on the court, you just look tiny.
Yeah.
And you can't help it. You can't help it because you're amongst giants.
Yep.
And you yourself are just kind of a slightly above average dude tonight.
Do we want to go over the five series that he
blew? Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, 2008 against the Spurs, they took a 2-0 lead. They lost that one. Grizzlies, 2013, took a 2-0 lead. Lost that one. Blazers in 16s. And Bucks in 2001 and Mavs this year.
The 2018, was that the Clippers or New Orleans? That had been the Clippers.
You mean 16?
No, 2008 against the Spurs.
Oh, 2008? That...
That had to be.
It had to have been the Clippers.
It's like right on the cusp of when he was came from the.
Yeah, we're gonna. If you wouldn't mind,
I'm looking that one up right now.
I am curious.
If he did a 2-0 lead on the Spurs with New Orleans, that's pretty impressive. And that was a good. And you had maybe David West on that team with
him. Right.
If it is.
Hornets. That was the Hornets.
So it was the Hornets.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't have the best of squads, but he had some nice pieces. But yeah, you can't expect to win that one against the Spurs.
No. That's Spurs team.
I'll let that one slide.
That's
but
respectable.
But still, everything else afterwards, there are some just glaring. The fact that he hasn't been able to get it done, no matter what. You haven't sealed the true deal and be able to give everyone the validation that you kind of need in the basketball fandom world of having a championship.
And to get blown out the way they did, that game was over in the second quarter. They were up 40 in the second quarter.
Basketball should really look at them, because those are two awful game sevens we had.
Terrible.
Terrible game, especially the last one.
Yeah.
The highlight of the night, that was awful.
It was kind of nice, though, in the sense that I was pretty tuckered out. And to be able to just check out of that game and go watch other TV shows and get caught up on my other stuff was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I would have preferred to have a great, tight game. It would have given us more to talk about today. But the fact of the matter is, I had got an hour and a half of my night back that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So
I mean, I watched Game 7 hockey.
Yeah.
That was great. We had two OT games in hockey. That's fantastic.
Stanley Cup playoffs have been insane.
Right now, the hockey has become a... They're doing way better than I'm sure the product putting out there. Especially with those two game sevens. I mean, the fact that you had both those two game sevens go into OT and the NBA had both those game sevens be blowouts.
We had five game sevens total.
Total. 100%,
in this round right here. So it was great to see that. So, and then two on Sunday.
Hockey is in a good spot right now. And I'm getting on the hockey train, I think. It's
good.
Like choo-choo all aboard, you know?
Puck, yeah. That was a hard one on Saturday as a Kings fan, just to watch that go down.
I keep forgetting you're a Kings fan.
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't understand it. I feel like I'm just going to become the neutral fan of hockey, I feel like that's the only thing I can validate.
You'll just be a fan.
Like, I'm not a true Kings fan. I haven't been like, oh, yeah, ride or die with the Kings. Yeah. I want to see fights, and I want to see goals. I think that's all I'm going to be fighting for when I watch hockey. Fights and goals, all right? Hit him in the face or put it in the back of the net. That's all I ever want to see. Here, Tonk, if you're with me, you know what I'm saying?
Fair. That's fair.
Hit him in the boards. I feel like that's all I'm going to say. Just from here on out, hit him.
I love how the fans, like, especially when there's like a scrum on the boards, like all the fans are pounding up against the board. They actually have a little bit of a play in the atmosphere on the ice. When you don't have that in any other sport.
Because no matter what, like, there's no other sport. Granted, you have courtside seating with basketball, but it's not in the way that you're like in hockey, where it's like a dome around this rink.
And
where
you can smack right on the glass.
Yeah. You just have that thin layer of glass between you and the guys, and you're right in the action. Mm-hmm. While there's at least an out-of-bounds, whatever, however many feet that is between you and
About four or five feet.
Yeah. You only have a couple people in that courtside area anyway.
Mm. That's true.
So hockey truly does have an atmosphere that is unlike any other.
Mm-hmm.
I think hockey also has a culture to it that is the most similar to European football.
They do have a huge fandom for it. The people, because it was small.
Yeah.
And they loved their sport.
Yeah. It was kind of a cult kind of thing.
More like, very, very regional.
Yes,
very,
very
regional. In the certain areas where, like, obviously where it's cold, we need a lot of ice. Canada loves it. Minnesota, Dakotas, anything in the Northeast, they love hockey. Love hockey. That's a huge sport for them.
Pudge2552 on IG said, "What about a netting for baseball?
It's just not close enough to the actual action. Like, you have that netting, but it's like it's just not close enough to the actual action like it is in hockey.
Yeah, no one is like foul tipping a ball and you know, getting creamed into the netting.
And you're not all. I mean, the only time you really have that is when there's like all those fights that end up on the nets, whether it's behind home plate or on the side." But usually the fans back off. They're not engaging in the
action.
They're
not banging on the net.
Yeah, they're not banging on the glass. They're not banging on the netting.
Not to mention, just the field of baseball is so much more vast than that of a hockey rink.
Yeah.
And just there's so much more space on that field that you don't quite have. Granted, I love a baseball atmosphere. No matter what, baseball is one of my favorite live sporting events to ever go to. Put me in any ballpark, I'm down for it. Even it's like just high school, just watching baseball in a live environment, there's something about it that's very, just feel American.
It's
about
natural.
It, you know? Yeah. Give me a beer, give me some peanuts, and give me a glizzy too, and I'm down for it. You know?
Beer at a high school game, I like that.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll find my ways, man. Yeah. I'm not going to any high school games to watch baseball at this point, but still, it's just the idea of like minor league. We'll say any minor league game, you know, that would be awesome. So, but yeah, it's not quite the same where it's a pretty small rink when you look at it from afar. When you're actually in the arena, it's like, yeah, this is actually, you know, pretty tiny.
That's fair. Do you want to do foot and mouth, sir?
Yeah,
lot went down.
A lot has gone down.
That'd
be
a good time. All right, let's do it.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, yes. Foot in Mouth. Now, I'm sorry about missing last week, because last week would have been crazy. But at this point in time, we all know the Champions League final way it's set. Congratulations to Real Madrid and Liverpool. You're going to make for a fantastic show. If you're not watching on the 28th of May, that's 2 weeks away, y'all, on Saturday, set your calendar. It's going to be a special one. That's out of the way. Champions League, regarded you. Premier League. My goodness, how you putting up a show right now? Yes, please, and thank you. Liverpool and Man City are not backing down. Liverpool dropped some points throughout the week with a draw that looked mighty depressing for that squad, and realizing the ideas of the quad are thrown out the window. But nope, Man City had to come around and draw as well 2-2 to West Ham this past weekend to give Liverpool a glimmering hope right now. That's right, they still sit 1 point behind and still need Man City to drop a point here or there or wherever. and now give Liverpool their opening. But their idea for the quad is still alive and well. Why? Because this past weekend they took down Chelsea in the FA Cup final. Sorry, Chelsea. You took them to penalties. PK, 120 minutes of scoreless football. Glorious. But PKs, it went down. Azpilicueta, you're the captain of the team. How do you do that to your squad on Chelsea? As an Evertonian, I do not want to see any quad happening in Liverpool. That would be awful. Disgusting. Blech, I vomit on that idea. And still the fact that is still a possibility scares me. Now, I think Man City still has it in the bag, as I think they have a slightly easier schedule coming up for them. But that being said, this is the Premier League where anything can happen and anything does happen all the time. So watch every game, y'all. Every point matters. Now, we look at that was the top of the table. We look at the bottom, where, again, as an Evertonian, we sit. Mm. And my goodness, we have a chance to get out of that position and solidify our place into Premier League next year. But no, 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 no. We had to go up against Brentford and go down to 10 men in 18 minutes. What? That's right. Red card in 18 minutes after a clear foul on Richarlison. I'm going to get into semantics. I don't want to get that into it. But either way, we lost 3-2 to Brentford. It could have been a magical day over in Goodson Park. But no, Everton's still fighting for their life. Still fighting for their life. So watch every game, y'all, as they're fighting against Leeds United again. That team that just recently came up in the Premier League after such a long absence from it. Do not want to go down there as well. And Burnley, who has had been in magical runs at times, they're facing. So three teams fighting to stay out of one spot. Oh, it gets juicy, y'all. It gets juicy. Now, the top four looks like it's solidified, too, in the Premier League, as Arsenal dropped big points today against Newcastle. And it looks like it's Tottenham to lose right now. They only need 1 point in the last game to solidify their spot in Champions League play next year. And all they got to do it against is relegated Norwich City. So, Tottenham fans, you Spurs, Conte got it done. Or I don't want to jinx you. I probably just did, because Tottenham, you always find a way to lose it. That would be spectacular. My goodness. I hope not for y'all. I really do. Because you have a fun squad. I love Harry Kane. Heung-min Son! I love saying that name. You know that. And he's a great player, too. Shouts to the South Koreans out there. Man, foot and mouth, man. It's a good time. Now, got to give a shout-out to the overall in Serie A right now, as that is still up for grabs, too, as Inter and Milan have yet decided out one game to rule them all. Milan needs to win it to secure the Scudetto title. And then it could become finalized. This is going to be one for the ages, y'all. So, Serie A still up for grabs. Bundesliga is solidified as Bayern Munich has clinched that title. And PSG has already taken Ligue 1. But Premier League is still up for grabs. A lot of foot and mouth. A lot of great football coming your way. Stay tuned, y'all. Stay tuned. And like I said, Champions League final, Liverpool, Real Madrid. That's going to be a classic. I'm watching it for sure. I'm going to take the day off. I'm going to get drunk.
I love it. What day is it again?
28th, May 28th. That should be a Saturday. If it's not, that should be the weekend of the week of that Saturday. Why not 28th?
Memorial Day weekend. Perfect.
BEA beautiful.
Yeah. Can't think of anything better. We should remind y'all we will be missing, and not like, you know, on any list or anything, but we will not be in studio Monday, is that May 30th?
30th, yep.
The 30th.
For Memorial Day.
We're going to take the day off and do some memorializing.
Yeah, I would say we'll be memorializing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're gonna take that day off. I don't think we've taken a day off since 4th of July of last year. So I think it's probably time.
We're good, y'all. Hey,
yeah.
Put some stuff in the bank.
Yeah. I know you got to get out of here in just a minute.
I do.
Can you, in 30 seconds or less, give me your impression when you heard of the news of Tom Brady's NBC contract?
I wanted perplexed. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Wow. Why? NBC is dumb. Broadcasting, people who run the show have zero idea of what we as the audience want. We don't give two hoots and a hollers calling the game because we can't choose. It's given to us one way or the other. I'm going to watch it because it's the only thing that's on. I can't. It's one broadcast or the other. I have no other options out there right now, and I have never in my life ever tuned to a game on football in particular because of who's calling the game whatsoever. It's never been an occurrence to me whatsoever. And the fact that the heads of these broadcasters think that giving these people this type of money without a guy who hasn't been true, tried, and tested is just baffling and just shows the incompetence that is running the top companies in this country right now. And good for Tom Brady. Like, seriously, you got your money without doing anything right now. He literally have got the dream. and supermodel wife, a glorious career in the NFL, and now a Hall of Fame broadcasting career that hasn't even started yet. So, yeah. All right. My man. Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good for you.
Thrice over. Football, yeah. Broadcasting, and life.
It's hilarious that he's going to be making more in 10 years in broadcasting than he did in 22-plus years of football.
Again, it just shows me zero. Like, how are these executives in NBC thinking this is a good play? Like, why are you spending this amount of money on him? On anybody. Nobody calling a game of football should ever be paid more than the people playing the game of football. The people that they're calling.
The only thing I can think of is the match and how much draw and how much buzz was around Tom Brady after the fact and how they wanted to see him again on that match. That's the only thing I can think of that
I mean,
gave
I would say,
that.
Tom Brady, you got your thing, my man. I would say go on for your own or do your own thing, but NBC is going to do it for you. So why not? 10 years, $37 million a year.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
For not playing football.
Yeah.
He has to show up basically, what,
the
once,
amount of people
twice
that
a week?
That he's making more that are playing football is got. There's probably only, like, what, 10 people probably making more than him that are actually playing football when he makes that? Wow, that's just stupid.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's, yeah, there's my, yeah. It's not 30 right. seconds, but that's my full rant.
Well,
I hate it.
Appreciate it, bro. Yeah. We'll right. catch you next week.
Yeah, we'll be back full. I'll be back full time soon, y'all.
All right, perfect. Yeah. I would say, to Derek's point, he mentioned we don't tune into the games for the broadcasters. And I think that's particularly true in the NFL. However, I would say last year I did on multiple occasions seek out what game Aqib Talib was calling to hear that because it was so much different. He sounds different. It's rare, bless you. It's rare that we get a cornerback's perspective doing being the color guy, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say, yeah, that – but. We're just doing the same thing over and over, and the big concern for me is, yeah, Tom Brady is a giant name, but, you know, Drew Brees was a pretty big name, and he just got fired from NBC, and he couldn't do it. I don't think just because you're a great quarterback, we've seen this time and time again, Jerry Rice, not very good on TV, Emmitt Smith, not very good on TV. We've seen this happen time and time again where players, just because they're great players and sounded okay in a press conference, doesn't mean that translates to being entertaining on TV. And can you think of one thing that Tom Brady has ever said that was interesting?
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, there's like
nothing
little,
stands out.
There's little tidbits that you're like, oh, it's kind of funny what he did on the field or what he said on the field, but that's about it. So I actually
nothing stands out. He's never said anything interesting enough that really stands out to you.
That we talked about on the show. It's like, oh my gosh, Tom Brady said this, and it was either funny or very insightful. Like, there's
never.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think the NFL, what the NFL does better than any other league is they do big really well.
Yeah.
They make an event feel like an event. The Super Bowl feels really big. The playoffs feel really big.
Yeah.
They do that really well. And having Tom Brady's name attached to anything can't hurt. Whether or not he's going to be good at the job, we have no clue.
So this past year, only four players would have made more than Tom Brady during his broadcasting. That would be Patrick Mahomes at $45 million, Josh Allen at $43 million, Dak Prescott at $40 million, and Deshaun Watson at $39 million.
That's wild.
Yeah. That is it. And then the next would have been Russell Wilson at 35. But again, he's making 37.5 a year just to broadcast. So he would be top three, top five every year until some sort of market blows up for players.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably on the way, right? I mean, the CBA goes up and up and up. It doesn't go the other way. But still, that's just... I'm not even worried about the money. I'm not worried about any of it. Get your money, playa. But I just find it interesting that the NFL continues to do the same thing over and over. And its broadcasting partners continue to just emulate the same style. Mm-hmm. I think it would be interesting to go to a more diverse cast, whether that's women, whether that's more minorities, just something different because we hear across the landscape – we kind of hear all the same voices, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not what deserved or anything like that. I think Troy Aikman and Joe Buck do a great job. I think, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank? Collinsworth and Al Michaels do a great job. But I'm just saying, we've heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to switch it up and hear a woman's voice, hear, you know, some minorities in the booth.
And you're seeing that a lot, actually, in NHL. NHL's getting a lot more women in the booth. Baseball's getting a lot more women in the booth. Same with football. You're starting to see it a little bit more, not as much, but you're starting to see a lot more get in there. Or, I mean, not football, basketball.
Okay.
Like NBAs. Yeah. A lot more basketball.
That's true. And basketball's been progressive with their broadcasting teams forever. I mean, Cheryl Miller was calling games long, long before Doris Burke became
She was like, what,
name.
In the early 2000s, mid-2000s, right?
Yeah, maybe even late 90s. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Definitely early 2000s. So, yeah, I'm just saying, like, it would be nice with all the money they're pouring into this. Let's see, you know, because people are going to tune in anyway. Mm-hmm. Why not try something different, you know? But
I mean, what's the risk? People aren't going to just turn it off because of one bad game. They're just not going to not listen anymore. It's worth the risk because...
Well, there's a lot of complaints about Monday Night Football's broadcast. And I agree, this past year wasn't their strongest. But it was also the first year of those guys together. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it wasn't the fact that they weren't great. It was the fact that their games were pretty terrible across the board.
Yeah, they're really not getting... Because they want all these teams to have a chance of getting these primetime games. A lot of these teams don't deserve it. It's like having the Suns and Mavs. You don't want to have a blowout because a lot of these people are just going to go pass out because they got work in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit and watch a game that, say it's the Tampa Bay versus the Jets. I'm not going to care to watch that game. You got to entice me to something. Give me a rivalry game. Give me a game that actually means something at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So,
and the fact that you can't flex that game makes it really, really difficult.
Like, it makes sense that the beginning of the year, like the first eight games, makes sense. But at a certain point, especially for Sunday, you should be flexing all those games after week eight. You should be flexing all those games for that Sunday night game.
Yeah, it's just tough because you have people who bought tickets and made their plans and traveled around the time, the start time of a game.
I get that, but...
That's why you can't flex Monday night games and you
know. No, the Monday night games I understand, but the Sunday games is a little bit different.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, well, moving on. Let's take a little break. Let's reset, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just reset.
Just chill.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Talking About Practice. Your man, Jarrow, Statman Brad. Derek was with us earlier. Derek had to dip out. Rudy should be back next week, hopefully.
Fuck yeah!
We're going to have our foreign correspondent, Aaron, on shortly. Looking forward to that. Get you caught up on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, we just want to remind you, this is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We want to give a shout-out to one of our friends and underwriters over at the Arc of Butte County. Serving individuals... Ooh, let's start that over. The Arc of Butte County, serving individuals with developmental disabilities and their families. The ARC is planning a fundraising event to bring back several programs paused by COVID. Donations of gift cards, services, and tangible items are being accepted for their auction. To donate, call 530-891-5865. That's 530-891-5865. You can also email them on their website, arcbutte.org. You can help the ARC serve over 1,300 special needs families in the greater Butte County. So shout out to ARC Store Butte. Also shout out to our friends over at C&A Cleaning. We appreciate y'all. It was a great weekend, man. We had all sorts of sports. We had a no-hitter in which the team who threw the no-hitter ended up losing. We'll get into that. That's just unbelievable. We also got some more playoff hoops to talk. I got to hate on Philly's future. But now we got to talk about the most exciting thing going on in the world of sports right now. The Stanley Cup playoffs. So we bring in our foreign correspondent, Aaron. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
It's going fantastic over here. All right. So we have had just a couple of game sevens. We've had a ton of overtime games. Yeah, a few. I'm sorry. I misspoke there. We've had a few. It's just been absolutely insanity. So wherever you want to go with it, I want to let you take the reins here, and we'll go down that path with you. What's been the most exciting thing or the most interesting thing of the first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far?
I mean, maybe the craziest part is you guys mentioned it before. Five game sevens, two went to overtime, so there were 51 games total for round one, and the last two went to overtime. Like, it's a tough, like, I mean, I don't know how you beat that. But yeah, so we had two game sevens that went to overtime yesterday. The Rangers ended up beating out the Penguins, and then the other game seven was the Flames over the Stars. Yeah, just absolutely wild. It's, you know, a crazy day in sports history when hockey is more exciting than basketball.
This is true. The Stanley Cup playoffs, we've talked about it, classically underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
For my money, they're the most exciting playoffs of any sporting league. All right, so give us at least a professional sporting league, because March Madness is pretty awesome. Your Avalanche are taking on the Blues. That series starts, what, tomorrow?
Yeah, starts tomorrow. So, I mean, I don't know if you mentioned last week, but the Avs were up three games. They were playing game four. They closed out in four games. So, you know, I think historically when you have too many days off, it doesn't necessarily bode well for you. They're going to have, like, 8 days off, essentially. And St. Louis is, you know, nothing to, you know, to joke about. They're a great team. So this is going to be a much more difficult series for them. And like I said, it's historically when you have too many days off, it's just not good. So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, a long layoff like that is always difficult to recover from. We also have a rematch between the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Battle of Florida. How do you see that one shaking out?
Yeah, I feel like that's so unfair. Florida only gets to put one team forward. The Panthers barely beat out the Capitals. They didn't look that strong, which is a little bit weird since they were the team. I mean, they won the President's Cup. They won the most games. I mean, they just looked a little shaky. And Tampa is historically, I mean, great in the playoffs, right? Well, I mean, they've won a few in the last couple of years. So, you know, the Panthers were the best this year, but I don't know. Going up against Tampa, I don't feel good about it. I think Tampa's gonna take this series.
So, are you still taking with your Avs coming out of the Central Division?
Oh yeah, I've got Avs and Tampa in the Stanley Cup for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Tampa. Tampa has won. They're back-to-back champions right now, aren't they? They're the defending Stanley Cup. Yeah, so.
Exactly. And then the other teams coming out of the Pacific are either the Flames or the Oilers. And it's like, you know, neither one of them was great. The Flames went to overtime in Game 7. That also doesn't bode well for you. And then out of the East, Carolina's going to be playing New York. Carolina barely won. I mean, they played really well at home, so that's good for them. And they do have, you know, home ice versus New York. But you know, neither one of I don't think Carolina or New York has what it takes to beat Tampa.
So we're going Tampa and Avs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You didn't give us your winner. I think I know which way you're going to go.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously it's the Avalanche.
All right, fair enough. So
I feel like this is my year.
Yeah, there you go. So the second round starts tomorrow, correct?
No, it starts today. We've got two today.
For some reason, I didn't think we had any games on tonight. Oh, man. All
right. You're right. I'm so sorry. No, you're right. It's tomorrow. My bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Today's the day off.
That's right. Okay. So tonight, all we have is baseball going on. No basketball playoffs, no Stanley Cup playoffs. But tomorrow, we're up and running.
This is a dull day for me. No basketball, no hockey.
I can't watch anything. You're not watching baseball.
Yeah. I'm just going to go home and watch Netflix then, I guess.
All right. Netflix and chill by yourself. All right.
Why you got to call me out like that? Damn, dude. I get my life slowly, but you don't have to blast it on the radio.
My bad.
Gosh. Help.
Drew, I would like to say I have a little bone to pick with you. Uh-oh. Earlier you were talking about how you were, you know, Joe Buck is a great commentator, and I think that is the most blasphemous, untrue thing that you have ever said. I'm so excited that he's going to commentate Monday night ESPN football, because we watch Monday Night Football. We'll listen to you guys on the radio, so that means I don't have to listen to Joe Buck, and nothing makes me happier.
You know, most people do not care for Joe Buck. I don't mind him for whatever reason. I do get that he comes off a little pompous at times. I get that. I get that he's against everyone's team. I know when he was calling the World Series all those years ago when the Giants were in it, it always felt like he was rooting against us. But
yeah.
He just, I don't know, he's fine to me. I don't really care that much, but I hear you. I know a lot of people do not like him, so I get that.
I think you're in the strong minority there.
Oh, I totally agree. I know I'm in the minority. Yeah. I'm fighting an uphill battle. And listen, this is not a hill I'm willing to die on. I'm not carrying the flag for the Joe Buck posse over here. I'm just saying, he's whatever to me.
Yeah.
And
I would encourage your listeners, turn on KZFR, watch Monday Night Football. Let me tell you, it's fantastic. That's what we do here. I love it so much.
What a shout out. Thank you for that. Aaron, you got anything for us on your way out?
PGA is next weekend. Phil Mickelson put out a statement on Friday that he won't be playing. So he registers and then backs out a week before. Very odd. Sort of in line with the weird behavior that's been happening the last couple months, but just not a good look. It's really disappointing.
So I do want to talk about that before we get you out of here. So Phil Mickelson had those comments about the Saudis and basically like, hey, they're willing to put up the money. Why wouldn't we take a look at this? And then the report that he's lost $40 million in the last, 4 years?
And gambling debts,
yeah. And if that number's out there, to me, it tells me the number's a lot higher.
At least double, if not more.
Right, which is just an insane amount of money to lose. So you would think he would need to play in this. So it's interesting that that he would back out of it if it's not health related, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously earlier in the year, he made those comments about wanting to play in the league or, you know, the tour that the Saudis were going to put together because he's really unhappy with the PGA. And so he got a lot of backlash from that. I wouldn't call myself a casual golf fan, but I'm not like wildly invested, I think, like other people. I didn't see the comments as like that terrible, but you know, maybe it's like the PGA is like the mob and you don't go against the family, and he went against the family and that made some people very unhappy. And Phil is the defending PGA champion and he's not going back. Everything that's happened since February and since he made those comments, you can see that he is really stepped in it.
Yeah, I thought one great analogy about the PGA being, you know, like the mob. I thought that was perfect. And yeah, it's just, even a casual golfer, whether you root for him or against him, golf is just more interesting when Phil's playing. And when you have
absolutely.
Phil and Tiger playing, it's even that much more interesting. It gives us all those nostalgic feels, and we're not going to get that. And it was just strange. I saw that Phil wasn't playing. I was like, is there any comments? Did he release a statement? And there's precious little said about it. So that's obviously a developing story, and we should find out more in the coming days, I imagine. Also, our man Pudge 2552 on IG said F Joe Buck. So I definitely am in the minority.
Yeah, no offense.
Well, very much so.
All right, did you have anything for her? No. All right, Aaron, thank you as always. Excellent as always. You know, why not? Go Avs, and we will chat with you next week.
I appreciate you guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye, Aaron. All right, that was our foreign correspondent, Aaron, who covers the sports we do a pitiful job of covering. So, as always, thank you to her. She always brings it and makes us look a lot better. So, we're always happy to have her. So, shouts to Aaron, and shouts to you for rocking with us this evening. You ready for a North State update, sir?
Oh, yeah!
Let's do it.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. And this will be the last North State Update of the school season? School year? Yeah, school year. Yeah. Because, well, Chico State's out of it. Completely. And there is a Chico State killer. And they are called the Cal State Dominguez Hills Toros. And they're the killers because, well, in the playoffs, they have knocked out Chico State, both in the CCAA for baseball and softball. And they knocked out, well, they knocked Chico State softball into the loser bracket, which didn't bode well for them. Put them in a very tough position. They weren't able to get out of it. Chico State baseball went to the CCAA tournament as the host. Spoiler alert, yes, they did lose. They were in the play-in game. One game elimination to make it into the bracket. Cal State Dominguez Hills beat them 5-11. It wasn't a pretty game. It didn't feel pretty listening to the game. Chico State had an early lead, and then in that third inning gave up 6 runs. That is correct, 6 runs. I was not able to come back from that. Yeah, when you give up more than 3 runs in a game, it's kind of difficult to come back from it if it's a close game. So yeah, it's just not ideal. But regardless, not the best season for Chico State baseball, but still respectable. 34-15 overall, 27-12 in conference. They had appearances in the NCAA rankings. They got as high as, I believe, 13 or 14. But they were also playing against a very, very tough team when they were up in that 14 spot against Cal State Monterey Bay. So congratulations again on a very successful season. Don't hang your head on this one. Chico State baseball, I mean, you guys killed it throughout the season. Just you ran into some bad luck at the end of the year. And unfortunately, that one CCAA game, the playoff game, knocked you out of the regionals. So congratulations to Cal State Dominguez Hills. You guys really took it to us, especially in the CCAA playoffs for softball. Beat us 5-6. And this past weekend, Cal State Dominguez Hills beat softball 1-0 to put them in the loser bracket. They beat Azusa Pacific the next day 3-0, but unfortunately lost to Concordia to end their season on Friday 1-2. So Chico State softball also nothing to hang your head at. They had a successful season at 37-17, 26-10 in conference, and had a beautiful win streak going into that Sonoma State game. Both teams were above 10 wins. Both had a 10-game-plus win streak going into that series, and they split it. So, once again, congratulations to both softball and baseball this season. I'm looking forward to giving you more information next year on baseball and softball. So next up will be basketball in around November. So stay tuned for the North State Update as it comes back next school year. That is your North State Update for the year.
Very good, sir. Appreciate it. Excellent work as always. All right, so where do you want to go with this? Do you want to talk about this no-no that resulted in a loss?
Yeah, let's do that. Do you want to start it off?
Well, I was just going to say,
because I feel like I didn't watch it. I heard about it and I read about it. And that's about it.
Then you probably have more information than I do. I just know the Reds lost 1-0 to the Pirates despite not giving up a single hit.
That's a lot of information, man. That's all the information you need to really get.
Now, Derek told me it was eight innings. So,
well, they pitched eight innings. Yes, because they were home.
Oh, right. Got it. Okay.
So.
Right.
Yeah. But, it's crazy to think that you've done everything that you possibly can. You have the starting pitcher went seven innings, no hit ball. And they completed it. The whole rest of the team completed it. And just couldn't find a way to get anybody on to put him in a scoring position. It's baffling. You don't see this. Last time it happened was 2008. So and it's only happened six times in the history of MLB.
It's amazing.
It is. It's really amazing. Baseball has the oddest stats that make no sense in sports. Like, this happened, and it doesn't make sense how the result came out this way, especially with a no-hitter. Usually when you get a no-hitter, you win the game, whether it's 1-0 or not. But to have six times in the history where the pitching staff did their job perfectly and they still lost, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So.
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention right now in the NL West, it is the only division that I saw that every team is 500 and above. Am I wrong about that?
You are not wrong about that. No. And there's really no one anywhere close. I mean, you have two teams in the AL West at 600. Everyone else well under 500. And after that, you only have one, maybe two teams above 500 in every other league. The NL East only has one team. The New York Mets over 500 at 639. And it's... You saw the development of the West the past couple years, especially with the Giants, or the Dodgers and the Padres, and the Giants were on not really a rebuild, but on their way up. You expected them to come back into prominence as they were in the mid 2000s, but Arizona, Colorado, you weren't expecting this,
right?
And especially the surge that Arizona's been having recently, they are 6-4 in the last 10 games. Like, they were all but out, and now they're back in it. Everyone's within 4.5 games. Colorado being 17-17 at 4.5. Giants only a game and a half out of that first place spot with the Dodgers leading.
It's
right
crazy.
Now. It's fun to see. Like, the West is going to be, if you're going to watch any baseball, watch the West. I mean, we've already talked about Colorado, how they haven't really played anybody, but I mean, man.
Well, they played the Giants last week, and they're playing them tonight, and they got swept the last time. So mm-hmm. We'll see what happens this time now that they're actually starting to play teams in their own division. Let's get back into hoops if we could, because yeah. I felt like we kind of cut that short. So now in the conference finals.
Yes.
On the West, we have the Golden State Warriors versus the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Boston, who I hate. I really hate Boston. I hate Boston.
Yeah, I just don't like their fans. I really don't like any of those.
Yeah, well, that's typically when I hate a team, it's because of their fan base.
Yeah.
And yes, can't stand them.
Yeah, it's not just the Celtics. It's like the whole entire Massachusetts area.
Correct.
Is yeah. So
bunch of assholes.
Very much. And I just want to emphasize the hate for that state and their fanhood. But, and it's kind of surprising to see, like, it's still baffling to see what Miami's been producing. After LeBron left, they expected it to kind of be like Cleveland. He just left a void. They weren't going to fill it. They've filled it very well since he left. And Eric Spoelstra has done a great job coaching that team up. So
that's another great what if in NBA history. What if LeBron just stuck it out in Miami?
Yeah.
Such a great what if. Yeah, Mavs, Golden State,
mm-hmm.
Who do you have going advancing to the finals?
It's
going to
go 6 or 7, but Warriors are going to take it over. I think the experience from the Warriors is going to be what leads them into the finals, but it's going to be a tough one without Gary Payton. That defensive presence is going to be very, very difficult. But the Mavs, all they really have, a very solidified scorer is Luka Doncic. Outside of that, anybody on that team can really go off, and that's kind of the scary part, is there is nobody that, or there's not like three people like the Warriors have that you focus in on. It's if you leave any one of those guys open, they can go off for 20, 25 and ruin the game for you. So it's everyone has to be on their game defensively to win this.
The reason I think Memphis has a really good chance, and if I would be hesitant.
Memphis?
I'm
the Mavs,
sorry. You mean? Mavs, okay. Yes. The reason Dallas has a really good chance, I think, is simply because the Warriors' defenses look terrible, mm-hmm. and they have to figure out the turnover situation. The unforced turnovers, I mean, I'm sitting there just like getting sick watching it. It's just, it's sloppy, lazy passes. Yeah. They just look like they are pressing. They needed to slow down the game against Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lucky. They had Memphis for the last, what, three games was missing their best player.
Yeah.
And the series before that, Denver was missing their second best player in Jamal Murray. And now they're playing a essentially fully healthy Mavs team without their best perimeter defender in Gary Payton. Mm-hmm. And that makes me nervous. But, yeah, the Warriors do have home court advantage. And so they got to start a little faster. The Warriors have been starting these games so slowly. They got to start a little faster, play with a little more sense of urgency. And just know that Luka's going to have two or three games this series where he goes for 40. It's just going to happen. Can you shut down the other guys?
Yeah, and can you get the wins when he doesn't get the 40? Like, that's going to be the big thing, is if he only goes off two times going for 40 points in this series, take the loss there, but you got to capitalize when he doesn't go off.
Yeah,
And seeing if you can minimize a lot of these support players. And if I would say the goal for the Warriors right now, a game total, if you can keep it under 14 turnovers a game, just because of the style of play that the Warriors do, that's a victory right there, and that puts you in a position to actually get that victory.
Yeah.
If you can keep it under 14 turnovers a game, I know they had 14 turnovers in one of the wins that they had in one half.
Yeah.
It's been terrible, bad, terrible to watch.
Yeah, so. It's been really tough.
But they've had, what, five? They'll have, I think, 8 days or 6 days to figure it out by the next time they play on Wednesday. If they have a long time to get that going, which I think is going to help out with the Gary Payton situation, and hopefully he'll come back near the end of this series and hopefully give a little bit more.
They've all but ruled him out of this series. So,
oh, they have? Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty tough. Now we go over to the East. We have Boston, Miami. Who you got coming out of the East?
I really want to say Miami, but this one's going to be close. I think it's going game seven, and it's a toss-up on that one. I'm going to give the edge to Miami just because of the experience of Butler and that team last year.
2 years ago.
Or 2 years ago, yes.
Last year they got swept.
That's right, by the Bucks.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give them the edge on that one.
Prediction radio, isn't it? It's,
this is why we don't do this.
Yeah, no,
this
fair enough. I put you in a bad spot.
So what would you say is like the key then for Boston or Miami? Not prediction. But
I mean,
like,
that's just going to be a bloodbath, dude. Yeah. Both those teams are physical. Both those teams are big. Without Kyle Lowry, I'm concerned how well Miami can play consistently mm-hmm. throughout the series. Granted, they've made it here. Largely without him, but those were two pretty. I mean, it was the Hawks and a banged up Philly team with James Harden looking like he just left Krispy Kreme. So, aside from the games they won, I do want to talk about Philly's future. We'll probably save it for next show because that topic I think is only going to get more and more interesting. Just listen to me now, believe me later on. I think Embiid is going to ask for a trade this offseason. That's my hot take.
I would agree. I mean, at this point, he laid everything on the line this past
and
series.
And you're stuck with James Harden for at least another year or two.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, no. If I'm him, I'm asking for a way out. So,
yeah,
we'll see. But, yeah, a couple interesting series coming up. I believe the Boston-Miami plays tomorrow night, don't they? I believe so.
They're going to be playing tomorrow at 8:30. So, actually, 5:30. Our time, yeah. So that'll be a good game, a good series to watch. I mean, we're really lucky to have both these series because I think they're both going to go six or seven.
Yeah.
It's going to go long, and they're going to be
a good series.
They're going to be very intense throughout the whole entire series. It's going to be very close. I don't think you're going to see a blowout like you did with Dallas and Phoenix on any of these games. Just with the competitiveness of all four teams, it's just not, they're not going to allow it to happen.
Fair enough. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Make sure you go check out the pod, talking about practice. Follow us on IG, TBP, not a game, TBP, not a game. But it's been real, y'all. Peace. Game over, man. Game over. One more time, sorry.
Yeah, I was a little